The theme that you have been looking at for this week is men with courage to change. And I imagine that many of the things that the men need to change in order to be better persons have been emphasized. But today, I want to focus not so much on the things that men need to change, even though we will mention some of these, but we will be focusing on what changes the man, which is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. And the topic is men of prayer and power. I grew up knowing this man in my home community who lived in the streets, not because he did not have any home. He had a home, but he worked at the sugar factory. And maybe he thought that because he worked at the sugar factory that makes molasses and sugar and rum, that he had to have his full of the rum every day. So he was a drunkard, living in the muck and grime of the gutter, sometimes lying down in the goo of his own vomit. I left my home community, went to college knowing this man as a drunkard. Going back home a few years afterwards, I found the man serving as an elder in my home church. And you know, the temptation that we normally have sometimes when you have persons like this is to wonder if he's really changed. He was there in the gutters, seemingly hopeless, but one day, what made the difference is that one day he asked Jesus to come into his heart. We used to say prayer changes things, but today I want to say prayer changes men. As he was there some years afterwards laying on his deathbed, I went to visit with him. And he said to me, he said, "Pastor, I have no regrets becoming a Christian." He said, "The only thing I regret is that I did not become a Christian earlier." Prayer changes men. We're going to focus today on Daniel chapter 6. You can read the whole chapter when you go home. Daniel chapter 6. Reading was taken from verses 1 to 4. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, and the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit," or what type of spirit? "Was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was a faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, break me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me to your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible is filled with examples of men of prayer. We have Abraham, who walked with God. We have Moses, one of the world's greatest leaders. We have Jacob, who wrestled with God and would not let God go until he received his blessing. We have examples of Elijah, who had his word, prayed, and no rain fell for 3 years, and prayed again after 3 years and rain came. We have Jehoshaphat, when he prayed and his enemies confronted him, and he prayed, his enemies were confused and they killed one another. And we have Jesus, when he was on earth, did not do anything unless he connected with the Father. So it is. Men of the Seventh-day Adventist Church need to connect with God every day. Not only should we connect with God for ourselves, but the men of the church need to play our rightful role as priests in the home, bringing our families to worship every day. What do you say? When we think about prayer, one of the persons that comes foremost to mind is a man called Daniel, one of whom the Bible says would pray three times per day, Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. And I don't believe that he only prayed three times per day. I believe that these were the prayer times for the Jews, but Daniel had other occasion when he would need to connect with God during the day. And for me, a prayer life is a life that is in constant communion with God. Daniel was born in a wealthy Jewish home in the year 622 BC, the period during which Neopalassar, king of Babylon, was in the process of crushing Jerusalem. In his late teens, Daniel was one of the bright young men taken to Babylon to help to build up the Babylonian kingdom. He served Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, and when the Babylonian kingdom was defeated, he served the Medo-Persian kingdom under Darius. Daniel, through all these years of serving in Babylon and in Persia, Medo-Persia, demonstrated indomitable spirit as one who connected with the true and living God. Regardless of the circumstances that he was confronted by, Daniel was consistent as a man of prayer. You know, when you are in incarceration, when you are brought to jail or taken into slavery, sometimes your rights and privileges can be taken away. Daniel and his companions were over there in a kingdom far away from home, and I imagine that much of their rights were taken away. In Daniel chapter 1, we see Daniel and his companion in a frantic request for the king, not to cause them to eat the king's meat, but to give them fruits and vegetables. And for 10 days they ate, and when they were through, we are told that Daniel and his companions looked better. Well, the Bible says that they were fatter. But you know, in our society today, it could be a bad word, but what the Bible is saying, that they look better. Amen. They look better than their companions. So it is, in times past, like Daniel and his companion, women would find that they did not have the rights that men did. Many women did not have the opportunity to get a good education, to hold a proper job. Might be wondering, why am I talking about women? But we are going somewhere. They could not hold a proper job. But there are many groups around the world that set out to change that. Desperate attempt was made by human rights groups and feminist movements and governments like our own government here in Jamaica to change that and to create a level of equity that is acceptable between male and female. Having made this attempt in the past generation, if a man and a woman had two children, a male and a female, and the only money they had could send one to school, they would send the daughter, because the families did not want our girls to be abused. Today, 65% of the middle and top jobs in Jamaica, middle class and top jobs, are now taken by women. Amen. When you go to the universities and colleges, the men are outnumbered by women at least 2 to 1. At the higher level of education, 75% of those doing their master's and PhD are female. The women need to get an education. And the women in Jamaica do not have all the rights that men do, because sometimes you do the same job that the man does, but you get less pay. I believe that if the woman does the same job, she should get the same pay. So there are some areas that the woman needs to come out. But there are some areas now that the man needs to measure up with the woman. And one of them is education. The society says that our men should be the main breadwinner, yet the women are prepared, and some of the men are not. In times past, I have known of situations where the boys had to push the handcart to send these girls to school. One young man who lived and worked in the streets of Spanish Town had to push handcart to send his sisters to school. He testified in the Gleaner. He testified that he wanted to go to school, but every time he would go out and work in the streets and go home on weekends, the mother would take away all the money and send him back in the streets to work. But when the sister goes off to university and graduates with a master's degree, I can almost guarantee you that she will not marry a man who pushes a handcart in the street. I'm saying to the Jamaican society, I'm saying to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, if you have money to send to school, you must send both male and female. And sometimes it is not that the parents do not try to send the young boys, but sometimes we don't want to take it. So I'm challenging the young men that if you are getting the opportunity to get an education, you need to accept it. I was pleased yesterday when my barber said to me, "Pastor, I'm going back to school to do some subjects." And I said to him, "I want to encourage you to do so." You see, some had said in the past that once it was man's time, and now it's woman's time. I don't believe that God intended that it was to be a man's time or a woman's time. The Bible says that both male and female were created in the image of God. Genesis 1 verse 26 and 27. God made them both male and female. Both were created in the image of God. And in Genesis 2, 18 to 25, the bone was taken from the man's side. God could have simply called the woman into existence or created her from scratch like he did with the man. But God created the woman from the man so that the man and the woman will know that they must walk hand in hand and side by side. I've heard so many men who tried to exert themselves as to be number one. And so the man says, "I was created before the woman so that I should be number one." But I heard one woman some time ago says God was creating from least intelligent to most intelligent, and the woman was created last, so I should be number one. God did not create us to lord it over one another. God created us to be partners. The Bible says God created a helpmeet or a partner for him. The man is to be the head of the house, and the woman is to be the heart. And I ask the question, when is a person dead? When the heart is dead or when the brain is dead? When the brain is dead, sometimes the person is placed on life support. When the heart is dead, sometimes there is a heart transplant. So the heart and the head must work together. What do you say? And the head should not overthrow the heart, and the heart should not overthrow the head. We have different roles, but we must work together. What do you say? So in terms of education, men need to come up. And if you can't take the education, men need to equip themselves by learning a skill. My mother had 8 of us. 7 of us went to high school. But I had a brother who could not take the academics. And when he was in grade 8, he had done common entrance about 3 times and had done the examinations after that and could not manage. He said to my mother, he says, "Mama, take me to learn a skill." My mother took him into the town and he learned a skill. Doing very well. He's an upholsterer. When I graduated from college and I was out there, that time cell phones were just coming out. I could not afford a cell phone. That time they had the huge cell phones, Pastor. You know you were talking into it because it would come from the ears to the mouth. And my brother, who was an upholsterer, even though I had a bachelor's degree, I could not afford a cell phone. My brother, who was an upholsterer, he called me, he had satellite dish on his house. He called me and he says, "Listen, I notice you don't have a cell phone. I'm upgrading to one of the smaller ones. You can have this one." And studies have shown that people who have skills make more money around the world than people with academics. Some of the people with a lot of PhDs don't have any money. Let me list a few things that the society needs to change if our men ought to be made better in Jamaica. And where the men need to be protected. Men need to be protected against abuse. Physical abuse. If a man hits a woman, he's an abuser. But as a counselor, I tell you, when I normally confront abusers, and when it's a woman who is hitting the man, I will normally ask a question. I would say to them, I would say, "Ma'am, are you an abuser?" And she would say something like this, "No, Pastor, I'm not an abuser. I only hit him because I want him to do what I say." Well, I have news for you. That's exactly why the man hits the woman. If the man hits the woman, he's an abuser. If the woman hits the man, she's sick and she's an abuser. Men need to be protected against abuse. The man was beaten by the woman over and over and over again. And one day, while he was standing outside in the view of the neighbors, the woman used a bottle that she had liquor from, and she threw the bottle and hit him in the face, and there was a huge cut in his face, and he could not take it anymore. He was angry. He walked up to her and punched her in the mouth. And she was bleeding, and the police was called, and the police came to arrest the man. Because when it comes to abuse, it must be the man. And they were dragging him out. But the neighbors insisted, "You cannot arrest this man because the woman has been beating him for a long time." And I've heard men, Pastor, who said, "If the man is beaten, he deserves to be beaten." I don't believe that. You have men who are of different nature. Men who come to me and says, "Listen, you know, I won't hit her because if I hit her, I'm going to hurt her. So, you know, but I'm telling you the truth, church, you know, I'm not going to hit my wife. My wife knows that. But, you know, I'm not going to allow her to beat me up." I'd prefer to run. But the point I'm making is that the men must be protected under the law against abuse. The men need to be protected against sexual offense. In Jamaica, when the sex offense law has been overhauled in 2012 and it is about to be overhauled again, we are still debating whether or not men ought to be protected against rape under the Jamaican Constitution. And the problem I have is to see men who are fighting against the man's protection. But there are men who have been raped. I did a program on Lifeline, our current affairs program on NCU FM, about the rape of men. And one of the men who were raped, he was walking, and two women held him up at gunpoint and caused him to put his mouth where he did not want to put his mouth. And can you imagine if those persons are affected by HIV, what the man would have? And the man was raped. But he did not get the type of protection under the law. We heard on the news recently where one was raped in Jamaica, and shortly after he killed himself. We need to take this seriously, that men can be raped. When you go into the high schools, if the boys simply brushes against the girl's breast and she report him, he would be sometimes expelled from the school, but the girls are walking and holding on to the boy's most private part without even a slap on the wrist. I have two boys and I have a daughter, and I expect my daughter to be protected by the law, but I expect my sons to be protected by the Jamaican law. We need to protect our men against unjust divorce. 93% of the divorce petition in Jamaica in 2004 were petitioned by women. If Jesus was living in our time, he would not be appealing to the men. He would be appealing to the women not to divorce your husband for every cause. We need to protect our men against unjust sharing of property. When there is a divorce or separation, man was 65 years old, and we're going to move back to the passage, Daniel, but let me just hammer this. A man was 65 years old. He lived with a woman for over 5 years. They had a fight. This is his testimony. He was just talking and I was overhearing. They had a fight, he says. But the law says if you live with a woman for over 5 years, you need to share the property. Or if you live, and it's changing now where the men can also get a portion of the property. And the man was, a restraining order was taken out against the man, and the man was brought to court, and the judge looked at the man and said, sir, you must not go 100 feet near that house. You must not go 100 feet near that woman. And the man said that, and if you do, we are going to arrest you. And so the man said that he begged the judge to speak, and he says, your honor, with due respect, when I leave here, if you let me out, I'm going straight home. Because he says, the woman met me with my house. I built that house myself. I am over 65 now and nobody will employ me. So if I leave here and I don't go to my house, where am I going to go? And the judge looked at the woman and said, woman, you met the man with his house and you have problem with him. Come out of the house and leave the man. But if the man was afraid, then you would hear about another murder-suicide statistics. Because where the law does not protect the man is forced to protect himself. And I say to you, we need to protect both the male and female under the law, because where the woman is not protected, the man cannot be happy. And where the man is not protected, the woman will not be safe. Even though Daniel and his companions had to fight for the preservation of their right, Daniel and his companions stood firm on the word of God. What do you say? They would not bend, they would not bow, they would not burn. The men of the Seventh-day Adventist Church should be like Daniel. We must stand like Daniel. Daniel was faithful. He was faithful as a young man back home in Jerusalem. He was faithful in the Babylonian kingdom. He was faithful in the Medo-Persian kingdom. And now at age 84, Daniel, when tested again, stood faithful to the true and living God. The men of the Seventh-day Adventist Church must be men of integrity. And the Jews have a statement called transparency of being, which says you need to have clean hands and pure heart. You must be transparent like the glass that we are looking at, that people can see through you. You are men of integrity. Daniel was 84 years old when the wise men of Persia conspired against him. Seemed they had forgotten how Daniel had helped them in the past when they could not interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and they and their families would be killed. Daniel was the one who connected with God and interpreted the dream. But now these same men conspired against Daniel because they did not want Daniel to be promoted. So they conspired against him and they went to the king, get the king to sign a decree. Notice they said all the wise men had gathered together. You can read Daniel 6:6-9 when you go home. But it was not all of them, because Daniel, who was one of the king's chief friends, was not included. And they got the king to sign the decree that no one should pray to any god or man for 30 days except the king. But Daniel, beloved friends, beloved brothers and sisters, could not stop praying to God. Daniel was like a man who just fell in love. And you know, when you're in love with someone, you're going to talk with them. Even when you don't have words to talk, you're going to try to communicate with them. Amen? Daniel was in love with his God. He could have hid and said, well, you know, it's only 30 days. If I don't pray for 30 days, God will understand. He could have said, you know, I'm going to pray, but I'm not going to open my windows and my doors like I used to do. No one will know. But Daniel was not willing to compromise in a single particular regarding this matter. As the songwriter says, just a little talk with Jesus makes it what? Right. Makes it right. What a joy it is to talk to the King of Kings of the universe. Daniel prayed 3 times daily with his windows and his doors open, and would suffer the consequences for doing so, for the laws of the Medes and Persians changes not. And I want to say to the men here today that, you know, we talk about how Daniel communicated with God. Communication is the number one need of the woman. If you don't communicate with your wives and your sisters, you're going to have a problem. That might not be the number one need for the man, but that is the number one need for the woman. So if you are going to live with women, you need to learn to communicate. Now let me show you the problem that we're having. Even to backtrack on the matter of education. If you have a man and a woman at the same level of education, say high school education, normally the woman is a little bit ahead of the man in terms of communication skills. What do you think happens when the woman moves on to a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and a PhD? And the man does not continue to equip himself. What do you think is going to happen? The communication gap will widen. And so the complaint that you will hear in Jamaica today is that I sent my girlfriend or my wife to school, and when she's through with her degree, she does not want me anymore. And I say to those men, if you're going to send anybody to school, send yourself first. The woman said to me, Pastor, I'm going to leave my husband. And I asked, is he abusive to you? She said, no. I said, is he unfaithful to you? She says, no, he's a faithful elder in the church. He loves and cares for his children. But she said, Pastor, we just can't talk. She says, as soon as I finish my degree, I'm going to leave him. I begged this Christian woman not to leave her husband. I begged her to seek help. But lo and behold, after she finished her degree, she left the man. The men need to understand that communication is the woman's number one need. One man some time ago says, listen, don't watch the fact that I drive a taxi, Pastor. He says, I work much more money than my wife who has a degree. I said, it doesn't matter if you work more money. She's now working money for herself. What she needs is a companion. If you are going to be that companion, you need to improve on your communication skills. And a word to the wise is sufficient. So the laws of the Medes and Persians changeth not. Daniel was to be cast into the lion's den. Daniel was to be cast into the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6 verse 16, however, shows how Daniel had such positive influence on the king that we find that not only Daniel now was a man of prayer, but the king was praying for Daniel. Daniel 6 verses 16 to 18. The Bible says, then the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually will do what? Will deliver thee. And the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with his signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments and music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king was praying for Daniel. Such was the influence that Daniel had over this king. This speaks to the fact that Daniel was not just one who spoke his religion, but one who was a perfect model of faith in God. He lived by precept and practice. As one of my friends normally say, values are more often taught than caught. Let me say that again. Values are more often taught than caught. People believe what you do more than what you say. Daniel was a perfect example of a man connected with God. It is not just what you say, but how you live that matters. The king caught the vibes that Daniel had. As you live from day to day, men, people must catch the positive vibes. Your wife must catch the positive vibe. Your sons and daughters must catch the positive vibes. Your co-workers must catch the positive vibes. That you are men of the true and living God. The enemies of Daniel, Ellen White, Prophets and Kings, page 540 says, the enemies of Daniel left the presence of Darius rejoicing over the snare laid for the servant of Jehovah. In conspiracy thus formed, Satan played an important part. Evil angels feared the influence would weaken their control over its ruler. In other words, Satan was afraid of Daniel in the kingdom. What do you say? His influence would overthrow the control and weaken the control of its rulers. It was these satanic agencies that had steered the princes to envy and jealousy. Daniel quickly read their malignant purpose in forming the decree. But he did not change his course in a single particular. Why should he cease to pray when he needed prayer the most? In cases where the king had right to command, Daniel would obey. But neither the king nor his decree could make him swerve from his allegiance to the King of Kings. What do you say? Because of his godly integrity, Daniel had a positive influence on the king. Men of the remnant church, we need to have a positive influence on the church, on our children, on our wives, and on the society. Many of our boys are growing up in fatherless homes. I don't know what the statistics is here in Jamaica, but in the United States, more than 20 million children in the United States are raised in fatherless homes. Many of the boys do not know what it means to become a man because they do not have a man in their lives. There is this slavish mentality still in Jamaica where the man used to be breeders and the woman the caretaker. So they would marry the girls, the slave masters, to a much older man to produce children who would be sold by the slave masters to other slave masters. My name, Dennis, comes out of such situation. Most Dennises that I met when I was at West Indies College could not trace their lineage further than their grandparents. It's a slave master's name. We don't even know if we are related. When I was at West Indies College, there were 7 Dennises. And only 2 of us were related, my sister and I. The other 5 weren't related to one another, and they weren't related to us. Or at least they could not trace the relationship. Today, it is expected in Jamaica that the man can have a lot of girls. He travels from Westmoreland to St. Thomas, and he has a child in Westmoreland, has a child in Manchester, has a child in St. Catherine. But these children are not cared for as they should. I'm saying that men must carry their responsibility. It makes a difference when the man is in the home. Seventh-day Adventist men need to ensure that you are there in the lives of your children. A child without a father, we are told by the Buddhists, is like a house without a roof. You know what happens when your house don't have on any roof? And the rain comes? Boys with strong, nurturing fathers are more socially competent, more persistent at solving problems, and more self-directed, says Satan. What a nation we would have if more fathers would stand their ground. Boys without positive role models, on the other hand, he says, are more aggressive and tend to be disobedient to their mothers and have a problem with relating to their peers. Study in the Time, published in the Time magazine some time ago, said 70% of those in state reform institutions were from fatherless homes. Men of God, your families need you. Men of God, the church needs you. The nation needs you. Like Daniel, we must be repositories of positive vibes to those around us. Daniel was ultimately cast into a lion's den, but the Bible makes it clear that the Lord was with him. And as one preacher puts it, it was not Daniel in the lion's den, it were the lion in Daniel's den, because anywhere the child of God is, we are in control. Lions could not touch Daniel, and the God of Daniel delivered again. What do you say? Jay Kessler, former president of the Youth for Christ in the United States, says that he was traveling on an aircraft some time ago. On his journey, he noticed a young man with his head bowed all through the journey. When he reached his destination, he went over to the young man and says, "You know, it's good to know that we have another child of God who was on the flight." The young man said to him, "I'm not a child of God." "Who are you?" Jay Kessler asked him. The young man says, "I'm a Satanist." "What were you doing then?" Jay Kessler asked him. He says, "I was praying." "What were you praying for?" He says, "Today is Friday, and Satanists are praying, fasting and praying on Fridays for the Christian church leaders to fall into sexual sin, and that their families will be destroyed." And I asked the question, if Satanists are praying, fasting and praying, what should the child of God be doing? My elder and I went to pick up a barrel at the wharf some time ago when I was over there as an intern in St. Catherine. And when we were heading back, he said, "Pastor, I want to show you something." And he drove and stopped by a church gate down there, somewhere down there in downtown Kingston. Don't remember exactly where the community is. And he said, "Look at that." And when I looked at it, we have a Good Samaritan is right beside that where that church is. They have changed the name, but at the time, it was a church of Satan. He said, "Pastor, look at it." And I look and I read the church of Satan. Right here in Jamaica. I went to the Good Samaritan recently and I saw the name is changed to something about Church of Science or something to that effect. Satan is our praying for the destruction of the church of God. Satan is our praying for the destruction of the head of the families. You not hear me, brothers and sisters? Because if the head of the families are removed, our society will have all sorts of concerns to deal with, including homosexuality, which is sweeping the world. I say to you, men of God, stand like Daniel. Stand like Daniel, Ellen White says. I leave with you this quote, Ellen White, Christ Subject Lesson, page 332. Stand like Daniel. Stand like Daniel. That faithful statesman, a man whom no temptation could corrupt. Do not disappoint him who so loved you that he gave his life to cancel your sins. If you have made mistakes, and God knows we have made mistakes, you certainly give a victory if you gain a victory if you see these mistakes and regard them as beacons of warning. Thus you turn your defeat in victory, disappointing the enemy and honoring the Redeemer. What Satan wants to say to the man is that you are no good, you have messed up, you can't change now, but I want you to know that there is hope in Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And prayer not only changes things, but prayer changes men. If you are here today, you're male and you are saying, I want to stand for Jesus. By the grace of God, I want to be a man of prayer. By the grace of God, I want to be a man of integrity. By the grace of God, I want to be a positive role model for my sons and my daughter and my wife and sisters. I want to be a positive role model. By the grace of God, I want to be priest in my home, bringing my family to the foot of the cross every day. If this is your desire, by the grace of God, we're going to invite the men to stand. Stand like Daniel, Ellen White says. Stand like Daniel. That faithful statesman, a man whom no temptation could corrupt. Stand like Daniel and be counted as men. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your word today. We give you thanks for the reminders that as men we need to connect with you through prayer. And where we have not been spending time with you as we should, we ask that you will take us today back to the foot of the cross. These men standing are saying that they want to be men of integrity, that they want to be positive role models, that they want to be men of prayer. Accept our humble submission to your will and to your way. In Jesus' name we pray.